Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Okay, I don't know what happened to the second part of my intro, so I'm just going to guess that I am on air. Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. How amazing would that be to get up and think about your day, not your diet? If you'd like to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind, what is weighing on you, if you will, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, or compulsive eating is not food. Food is not the problem. Food is actually the solution to the problem. The real problem is what's eating at you. Okay, so here's something I hear all the time, all the time. Maybe you will be able to relate to it. People say, I work out every day. How come I'm not losing weight? I do cardio 5 times a week. The scale isn't moving. What's up with that? And I imagine that you've seen those people at the gym. Maybe you've been one of those people at the gym, or, you know, you're on the elliptical for an hour, or, you know, you're just red-faced, you're sweating, you know, your Fitbit is exploding, your pulse rate is in the cardio zone for a good solid hour, and yet you never lose a pound. Never, ever. What's up with that? So here's the thing. Here's something you may not know. 80% of weight is determined by diet, not by exercise. That's right. 80% of weight is what you eat, not working out. In fact, a study of the contestants on the Biggest Loser show showed that diet was the primary factor in their weight loss initially. And of course, their diets were unsustainable, hence other studies that have shown all of them have gained, nearly all of them have gained all their weight back, if not more. And partly this is because of what's called metabolic compensation, which means that, you know, you lose weight. When you're losing weight, your body slows, your metabolism slows to compensate. But mostly it's because what you eat determines your weight, not how much you exercise. And here's the other trap about exercise, and this is another really common one that I hear all the time. It's the I worked out so I can eat what I want trap. It's I can have this ice cream. I hit the treadmill hard this morning. You know, I went on a run. I can have this. I can have this double latte mochaccino. It's only coffee. Yeah, that coffee is like having 2 milkshakes. Sorry to tell you. We really overestimate how many calories we burn from exercise. Whatever the treadmill is saying, whatever the elliptical is saying, do not believe it. Do not believe it. Do not necessarily believe your Fitbit. What you are burning is also not like a green light to eat whatever you want, right? So we don't earn the right to eat fattening foods or any foods by exercising. Bottom line is we need to exercise because we love our bodies, not because we want to lose weight. Exercise because you want to take care of your body. Exercise because you want to nurture your body. Exercise because you love your body, not because you want to change it. Also, it's important to establish goals that you can do and that you enjoy and that are sustainable. Now, a lot of times people pick exercises that they don't necessarily love. If you've been listening to the show, you remember that early on, Nick kept feeling bad about himself because he couldn't get himself to walk. He'd be like, oh, I know I should walk, but I can't walk. can't make myself walk. What's wrong with me? I have no willpower. Then he'd be hard on himself. Then, you know, the next thing, you know, that would happen is ice cream. So it was a terribly vicious cycle. But when we talked about it, and I said, Nick, do you like walking? No, don't like walking. He was bored walking initially. And then he got an Audible app on his phone. Now he listens to music. He listens to books. Now he's walking because he's enjoying it. So it's really important to do something you like when it comes to exercise. Because if you find something you enjoy, you are much more likely to do it consistently and make it a lifelong habit, rather than forcing yourself to do something just to lose weight, just to get in shape for that wedding or that event or that whatever. You're gonna sign up on Match or Bumble or Tinder or whatever once you lose weight, right? Don't exercise for the goal of doing something with your life. Exercise with the goal of taking care of yourself. Again, like I have friends who are, they're always looking for a quick fix to lose 10 or 20 pounds. They go from spinning to cardio bar to boot camp, whatever the latest and usually most brutal form of exercise is. They don't think about whether they actually like it. They think about how fast can they lose weight. And then they end up feeling bad about themselves because they can't stick to it. So it's always a disaster. So if spinning is your thing, hey, terrific. Knock yourself out. You're going to get yourself to spin class no matter what. And here's my Nicole. Hold on. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you? You know my 92 number.
I now know your phone number. I know your phone number and Nick's phone number. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was just listening about exercise and food. It's not how much you exercise, but it's what you eat, and I could totally relate to that because I feel like, well, I do exercise that I love, and I love exercising. I do like Zumba, which I love.
Nicole, I don't know if you're driving, but your voice is fading in and out. I can't hear you. Hello? Yeah, Nicole, we lost you. I don't know if you're in. Whoop. Okay, Nicole, if you can hear me, call me back. We lost you. It sounds like you might be in kind of a bad cell zone, which is amazing that still happens these days, right? But so call me back when you get to a better, you know, area. So yeah, I was saying that if you love spin, you're gonna get yourself to spin class. You're gonna go to SoulCycle, and you're gonna love that woman yelling at you. You're gonna be like, I'm all about that. Yell at me, crazy, scary spin SoulCycle instructor. Like, you know, I mean, they just look scary to me. Some people love it, others not so much. If you love it, you're gonna love it. But if you hate it, don't force yourself. Find something you love to do. You will keep doing it. Better to do like 5 years worth or 5 decades worth of, you know, tranquil yoga than, you know, 8 months power yoga and hating every moment of it. Okay. So, here is a question from Chelsea in North Carolina. She says, I hear all about body positivity and how I'm supposed to love and accept my body, but I find that impossible. How do I change the way I feel about my body? It's a great question. There's, you know, the health at any size movement and the body positivity movement. You know, people now feel bad because they're told, hey, you get the green light, you get to feel good about yourself. You don't have to get to a size 2 to feel good about yourself. But then they feel bad because they can't feel good about themselves at the weight that they are. Now they feel doubly bad. You know, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to feel good about myself as I am, and I can't. What's wrong with me now? So, Chelsea, I'm going to share an article I wrote for Masters of Health magazine a couple years ago. It is called 3 Ways to Love Your Body. 3 Ways to Love Your Body. So the Buddha says, cherish your body. It is yours this one time only. Many of us yearn to have a different body while ignoring the ones we have. Our culture has no shortage of people waging war against their bodies. Social media is filled with photos of women who are doing fad diets, starving themselves, or going to other extreme measures, desperate to change their weight and appearance. And by the way, it is not just women. It's not just women. It's people. All too often, we hold ourselves to an ideal of physical perfection, and we find fault with ourselves when we inevitably fail to meet that goal. Because guess what? There is no such thing as physical perfection or any kind of perfection. I mean, you know? And what's the deal with perfection anyway? Why do we have to be perfect to be good enough? And again, true of men as well as women. As one of my male patients once said, he said, "It's just as hard to be Ken as it is to be Barbie." And by the way, why do we want to be Barbie? Like, Barbie is bland and boring and, you know, plastic, and like, she doesn't do much. She can't talk, she can't think. What's up with wanting to be Barbie? Okay, so to create a more peaceful and realistic way of relating to ourselves, we've got to challenge the idea that there is only one good way to have a body, so we can cherish and nurture the bodies we actually have. So here are my tips. Okay, tip number one. Love your body, tip number one. Appreciate yourself. Many people, when they think about their self, when they think about themselves, they only think of the image in the mirror, right? The person in the mirror is who they are. And yet we are so much more than our size and our appearance. I've told you about this person, but I once treated someone who said she was, well, I never treated her, she just talked to me once. She said she was the queen of self-care. She didn't understand why she felt bad about herself, because she was the queen of self-care, and isn't self-care supposed to make you feel good about yourself? So I said, well, how exactly do you take care of yourself, your majesty? And she told me she got regular manicures and pedicures and facials and massages and, like, you know, acupuncture and chiropractor and you name it, she did it. So I told her that was grooming, not self-care. And her challenge was to realize that there was so much more to her and all of us, by the way, that meet the eye, than meet the eye. So keep in mind, you have a body, but you also have a mind. You have intellectual parts, emotional, relational, creative, spiritual parts of yourself, a whole range of qualities that make you the person that you are. So make it a point to identify, embrace, and nurture all these parts of yourself, because they all need your appreciation. And guess what? When you feel good about your whole self, not just your one-dimensional, you know, person in the mirror, you won't be as focused on your weight and appearance as the only way to define your good enoughness. So that is love tip number one. Love tip number two, listen to your body. The human body is amazing, and it has so much to communicate. We just have to be willing to listen. And when we tune into our bodies, we learn to recognize what we need. You know what? Your body will actually tell you what kind of food it needs, what kind of exercise, what kind of sleep it needs. Now, one significant roadblock to listening to your body is being on a diet. Diets fail for reasons that are both physical and psychological. So first of all, diets are often restrictive, which leads to hunger and also a slower metabolism. When you don't get enough calories, your metabolism goes, ooh, not enough calories coming in, better slow down, gets more efficient. And then your body needs fewer calories just to sustain yourself. Here's Nicole back. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, I'm not in the car, but I didn't want to interrupt you during your three ways to love your body either. Is this
okay
time?
Oh, that's okay. Yes, I can get back to it. Now I can hear you. I guess we just had a bad connection.
Okay.
But we got a good connection now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you were talking about it's not how much you exercise, but it's what you eat. And I feel so guilty the days I don't exercise. It's like I'm lazy. I didn't move my body. My thighs are going to get bigger. But I also fall into the opposite trap when the days that I do like a crazy cardio Zumba class or whatever, I'm like, oh, I did Zumba, so I can eat like an extra tablespoon of almond butter or like whatever. So I just like, where is the balance?
Well,
like,
the balance is that you're not exercising to have an extra tablespoon of something. You're exercising because it's good for your body. And you're not, it's to change your mindset, because if you're exercising more as a way to earn the right to eat more, you're really just going to undo the point of exercising, which is to be healthy and you know, you're not exercising to earn the right to eat more calories. You're exercising because it's good for your body.
Right. So it's almost like counterproductive to do that, or to do it for the reason to eat extra.
Exactly.
Because then I end up like just, netting it. And then it's just like, I didn't even do it. I should have just not done it if I was doing it just to eat more.
And you also, a lot of times people think, they're like, oh, I did the, you know, this crazy cardio class and I burned 500 calories. Well, they're often incorrect. You know, and
right.
So people,
yeah,
it's much less, and then you've overestimated how many calories you've burned, so then you eat more, and you just end up messing yourself up, as opposed to paying attention to, okay, what am I hungry for? You know, what does my body need right now? Not like telling yourself you can, it's like telling yourself, I must have this much sleep. Well, sometimes you need more sleep and sometimes you need less sleep.
Right.
Sometimes we need more calories. Sometimes we need more protein. Sometimes we need more carbs.
Right.
When we tune in.
Maybe just listening to your body, yeah.
Yeah.
Tuning in. Okay, cool. Well, I guess that's kind of related to my next question, which is, I find that I eat, like I don't want to use the word addicted, but like there's certain foods I really like or I eat very often. So like I eat a lot of like non-fat Greek yogurt. I don't know if you know the brand Phage or Faye, but I eat a lot of that. And then like I really like string cheese and I eat like a lot of like low-fat feta cheese, like a lot of dairy. And then like, you know, I like the peanut butter, which I sometimes eat. And then like I love blueberries. So it's like, I feel like my diet consists of the same foods because I tell myself that, like, if I eat these foods, I'm being healthy or I'm being good, quote unquote, which I know I need to work on changing my vocabulary. Well, I'm aware of these things. I just haven't, like, made the changes yet.
Well, and I want to acknowledge you for being aware and for recognizing this. Remember when you called me a while back and you told me that you had gone to the new Greek restaurant, then it was new.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't stop. And we talked about how your diet, what you were eating was sort of boring and the Greek restaurant was super yummy. So the problem with problem with eating the same foods all the time is they get boring. You need variety in taste. And so then you're setting yourself up. So then the first time you have something that's not non-fat dairy or blueberries or whatever, then you're gonna overdo it because you need variety, as much variety as possible. That's healthy.
So I don't know how to have the variety without like punishing myself for having the variety. So like last night I went to dinner, and I like, somebody ordered a pizza, and I would never order a pizza. I don't eat pizza.
Why? Why not? Why don't you eat
because
pizza?
It's that because it's high carb.
No. See, this is the problem. Where's my buzzer? I got to do this to you. No. Listen.
Okay.
Listen. Everything in moderation. It's not like you're eating pizza every night. And when you, when you have this good food, bad food mentality. And that is that's translating into a good you, bad you. And you feel good about yourself when you eat something virtuous that you consider virtuous, and you feel bad about yourself if you eat something you consider is unhealthy.
But Dr. Nina, I feel like it's my way of survival. It's like my survival mechanism. It's like if I don't have good food, bad food, that I'm going to just like become obese.
And that is a
Does that make sense?
Yes, but that is that fear does not make it a fact. Why would you become obese?
Because if I'm not thinking that pizza's bad, I'll eat pizza more often. And if I'm not telling myself that dessert is bad, then I'll eat dessert more often.
No, actually, you'll eat it less often. You'll eat it less often. Because what...
But
that's your
fear. Only if I believe that pizza's really not bad.
Yeah, so you've got to challenge these notions because you have very black and white thinking. Like, you think that if you give yourself permission to have it, you're going to eat more of it. And of course, everyone feels that way. You're not the first person who said this to me. But what happens is actually the opposite. What happens is when you know you can have it, then you can decide if you want it. And here's what I actually hear more often. People are like, when they're like, oh, I ate pizza and I shouldn't have, and because I'm never going to eat it again in my lifetime, I ate four pieces or, you know, whatever. But then when they actually give themselves permission to be like, wait, I'm going to change my way of thinking.
I'm going to have
pizza. Here's what they say. They're like, you know what? I had a bite of the pizza and I was like, this pizza isn't really very good. So I didn't want to have it anymore.
I feel like I ate the pizza last night because I knew I shouldn't have had it, not because I actually wanted it, because I didn't want it.
There you go. Right. So you can see
that's
that
an example already.
So you are thinking about it in terms of nutrition and calories and fat grams and all of that. And I urge you to think of it as more of a psychological thing. You know, when you have permission, when you have permission, you can decide if you want it, how much you want of it. Then you don't feel guilty. You're going to have less of it. You're not going to overeat it. You're not going to eat it out of the anticipation of deprivation or because you've been deprived.
So how do I... Okay, so this is the question. How do I... I feel like I'm programmed like this because I started seeing a nutritionist when I was 16 years old, and she told me that food is for survival, food is not for entertainment. She told me all these things.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I'm guessing this
program.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm guessing that... Was this a nutritionist or a dietitian?
She's a diet... I guess both. She's a nutritionist, but it was also like... I guess it was for weight loss. So I was 10 pounds heavier.
Okay, Nicole.
You know, 10 years ago.
Here's the thing. I want to educate you and everyone else who's listening.
Okay.
You could call yourself a nutritionist. Anyone on the planet can call themselves a nutritionist.
Oh, right.
That's why every trainer at every gym is like, I'm a nutritionist too. No, you're not. To be a dietitian, you need to be educated, usually with a master's, not always, but usually with a master's degree, and you need to take a licensed board exam, and then you are a registered dietitian. And I am here to tell you, it is highly unlikely that a registered dietitian would tell you food is fuel, because it's not. If food was fuel, we would all have pellets and just, you know, eat astronaut pellets, and we wouldn't care about anything other than that. Food is supposed to be enjoyed. You are not enjoying it. Food is supposed to be enjoyed, not a battle zone. So ideally get to a place where you're like, what is delicious and nutritious?
Right. So what are the steps? What are the steps to reprogram my mind? Because I programmed myself like this 10 years ago, and it's been my way of surviving and staying, you know, around the same weight and staying thin. So how do I reprogram
now?
What's the first step?
First of all, you think this is what's kept you thin.
Right.
I want you to challenge that idea. That you, so as long as you have the idea of you have to think this way, eat this way, and live this way to maintain your weight, it's going to be very hard to change. So I think you need to focus on, first of all, what are your assumptions about this programming? What are your assumptions?
What are my assumptions? Yeah, that it's my survival mechanism. It helps me stay thin. It helps me, it keeps me in check. It helps me from giving in to my urges and desires.
but giving in to your urges and but it also, how does it hurt you?
How does it hurt me?
Yeah,
well, it's messed me up to the point where I think of food as good and bad, and I can't indulge and enjoy something with, indulge is already the wrong vocabulary.
Yes.
I can't enjoy something without feeling guilty. I can't enjoy something that's high carb and high sugar without feeling guilty. Yeah, that's it.
Well, you also said something that actually is untrue. You said that this way of eating and being programmed keeps you there's my phone. This way of eating keeps you from indulging your desires, but earlier you told me you ate pizza. So it actually does not keep you from indulging your desires. It leads you to indulging your desires.
You're right. Yeah, because of the anticipation of deprivation. I have the pizza in front of me. Probably not going to have pizza for, like, God knows how long. I might as well eat the pizza. It's here. I know I shouldn't have it, so I want it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. You're
exactly.
Right.
And, you know, if you didn't have this pizza phobia or carb phobia or whatever it is that you have, you might have just seen someone order a pizza and be like, yeah, I don't want pizza today. I want this.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm also so judgmental. Like, I know last week we were talking about, like, judging others and stuff. This weekend I went on a meditation retreat and they were serving, like, pasta and stuff. And I was looking at the girl sitting next to me and she, like, filled her plate with pasta. And I was, like, judging her so bad.
Well, what
for
was
eating
her crime?
The pasta.
What did that mean about her?
Yeah, I'm like, this person is reckless. This person has no discipline. Because these are all the things that I would think about myself if I were to eat the pasta.
Right.
So, yeah, I was like, this person is reckless. She doesn't care about her body.
Okay, stop.
She doesn't have.
Ever been to Italy?
Yes.
Ever been to a restaurant in Italy?
Yes.
What is one of the courses that Italian people often eat as part of their meal?
I know, the primi is pasta, but that's Italy. This is America.
People,
that's vacation. This is life.
No, they're living their life. You have a whole country full of people who eat pasta on a daily basis. You have to challenge some of these black and white ideas. Reckless to eat pasta? Really? Reckless? No, reckless is driving like 90 miles an hour on the 101. That's reckless. Reckless is not eating some fettuccine. So I think catching these ideas that you've taken as truths is going to be very important. Who taught you that this is reckless and indulgent and lazy? Who taught you that making food choices is a characterological deficit?
I think my family and the nutritionist and society.
Yeah. So that nutritionist, what just tell me her first name.
I'll just make it up, Laura.
Laura, okay.
I just made it up. I don't want to use the real name.
Okay, so I think you need to, I need you to start recognizing what's Laura in your head and what's Nicole.
But Laura has helped me survive.
No,
that's
she hasn't.
Thing,
she hasn't.
I really think she has.
Then we have nothing to say.
Okay. I need to look at it. I'll take it in. I'll think about it.
She hasn't helped you. She's made you think, or you've b- believed that this is the only way to be in relationship to food and that it's somehow good. And yet, are you hearing yourself? You're tortured. You can't go out for a nice meal and enjoy it without feeling bad about yourself or good about yourself because of what you're eating. That's not a reason to feel good about yourself and not a reason to feel bad about yourself.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. When you're right, you're right.
When what can I say? I agree with you. I know it's hard because you know, brainwashing is a good way to put it. I know it's hard when it really feels like without this way of being, you're going to lose absolute control, blow up like, you know, what Faruka Salt in Willy Wonka. Remember she turned into a blueberry, speaking of blueberries?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. You're like, if I go off this, I'm going to blow up like, you know, remember that scene? That awesome scene when that little brat got what she deserved. She's a bratty child. But that so, you feel like that's what's going to happen. That's not going to happen.
I know. So now I don't even know how to listen to myself. Like if I'm even like, oh, Nicole, what do you want to eat for lunch today? It's not what do you feel like eating for lunch? It's what should you eat for lunch to stay on track?
Yeah,
that's the dialogue in my head. It's not what do you feel like eating. Then it's Nicole. This is my self-talk. It's like, Nicole, who cares what you want to eat? Eat what you should eat to stay thin.
Okay, so there's first of all, you're talking to yourself in second person or third person, second person, you.
Yeah.
It's coming from a premise of you have to eat, you know, that prescribed amount of whatever to stay thin. False.
Yeah.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just come from a first person place. What do I want to eat? What does my body want right now? Do I need protein? Protein? Do I need something savory? Do I want something filling? How hungry am I? What does my body want?
Okay, I wrote that down. What does my body want? So at lunchtime, I will ask myself, what does my body want?
And don't should on yourself.
Okay. Okay. I'm ready to hang up, but before I do, what does my body want? I want to say, like, I hear it coming, like devil's advocate. Who cares what your body wants?
Don't
eat.
No, you.
What's
going to
keep your body looking good?
You got to tell that second person voice that, again, the premise is that the only way to keep your weight is to eat in this way. This is a false premise. Anytime you hear your second person coming in, the second person voice, you should, this is the only way, you need to, you got to just tell it to be quiet. Shush.
Okay.
Because if you want to end this torture and if you want to be liberated from this constant thinking about every calorie, thinking about what you should be having, feeling guilty, inevitably having pizza or whatever, if you want to be freed from this way of being in relationship to yourself and the world, this has to stop. What does my body want? Protein, carbs, how hungry am I? Do I, you know, what kind of you know, salty, crunchy, sweet, what does my body want? And you will get...
But then there's a fear that if I actually listen to my body, I will gain weight. What if I gain weight, Dr. Nina?
Because nobody's body goes, my body wants a double milkshake.
Right.
Your body goes, you know what, I want, I kind of feel like salad with tuna on it. Or your body goes, I think I want like a turkey sandwich. That's
okay.
Your body is not going to be like, my body needs pizza.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
When you're right, you're right.
When you're right, you're right. I was just thinking that. Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Practice
Nina.
Makes progress.
That's a lot of good stuff. I'm going to go listen to the show again after we hang up.
Okay.
And I can take notes.
Remember, practice makes progress. No shoulding, no second person. Stay with I. And you can do it. You got this.
Okay. Thank you, Dr.
You're welcome.
Nina.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, it is hard. It is hard to change the way you relate to food when you've been for 10 years thinking, when you've been sort of, you know, indoctrinated into these ideas and scared into thinking that if you change, you know, all hell's going to break loose. But when you change, you will see that the fears are unfounded. Okay, so I was saying, ironically, when Nicole called, I was saying your body will tell you what kind of food it requires, what kind of exercise, what kind of sleep. A significant roadblock to listening to your body is being on a diet. Diets fail because they lead to hunger, slow your metabolism. When you don't get enough calories, your metabolism gets more efficient. Then when you go off the diet, as you inevitably will, you gain weight every time because now you need fewer calories just to maintain your weight. So in terms of the psychology of eating, diets fail because they're about deprivation, which always leads to overeating or binging. Always, always. If you're thinking about not eating pizza, ice cream, anything with a carb, then you've got food on the brain all day, actually food on your mind all day. You don't think with your brain. Your brain is the physical organ. You've got food on your mind all day. That puts the focus on the wrong thing, which is what you are eating instead of why. Diets don't address the underlying issues that make you turn to food in the first place, and there are many reasons for that, ranging from wanting comfort, distraction, numbing out, symbolically filling up an inner emptiness. You may even eat until you're in physical pain, which is a way of unconsciously converting emotional pain to physical. Another reason why people overeat is because they don't eat enough during the day, and they get so hungry that when they start eating, they can't stop. You know, because if you're starving, you know, whatever your relationship is to food, it's pretty hard to find full because you're ravenous. Another reason is when you're bored with what you're eating, and when you finally get to have something that's yummy, it's pretty hard to stop eating it. So that's why it's so important to only eat things that are delicious, right? If they're not delicious, don't eat it. And by the way, it doesn't have to be pizza or cake to be delicious. And when you start, you know, like enjoying other kinds of foods and a wide variety of foods, those forbidden foods stop being so delicious. Every time, I hear it all the time. People are like, yeah, oh my God, I used to love, you know, cheesecake, and it was like the best thing in the world, and now it's just not as good as it used to be. Yeah, it's just not as good as it used to be because you're not only relying on cheesecake for all of these, you know, to all of these things, for sweetness in your life, for comfort, for distraction. Anyway, then when you stop dieting and start responding to yourself in a new way with food that is healthy and nourishing and yummy and with a kind, loving attitude towards yourself, you will not use food for comfort, distraction, or any of those things. Your weight will stabilize to a point that is most healthy for your body. And usually that is a lower weight. So love your body tip number 3. Accept your emotions. So, in treating thousands of people all over the world, in my private practice, in my online program, Kick the Diet Habit, I have seen one major commonality in all these people, thousands of people, one thing in common. They don't know how to feel their feelings. Often they don't know even what they're feeling. They don't even know how to identify their feelings, really. They just have this sort of vague feeling of yuck. Why is this? Why do thousands of people all over the world have such a problem responding to their inner selves? One reason is our culture has a big problem with emotions. We make feelings bad. We make feelings scary. And we dismiss them. Right? Anger. Oh, you're angry. Maybe you need anger management class. sad, oh, you're depressed, you need antidepressants, this is not good. Anxious, hey, there is a pill for that too. Even if you're happy, maybe you're a bit too happy. Maybe you're a little bipolar there. I mean, really, you cannot win in this society. We are told we are weak if we feel our feelings, and we are strong if we don't feel our feelings. What? Really? What? What is that? It takes a lot of strength to deal with painful, difficult emotions. It does not take a lot of strength to go, I'm not going to feel that. That's wimpy. That's the easy way out. That's not strength. And what happens to those feelings we don't allow ourselves to feel? Because we cannot stuff feelings down. We can't starve them away, drink them away, gamble them away, work them away, let them go, or positive think them away. We cannot get rid of them in any other way than to feel them. As counterintuitive as it may seem, the only way to get rid of feelings is, oh, this deserves a drum roll. The only way to get rid of feelings is to feel them. Yes, to actually feel them. We need to accept that feelings are reactions to situations and not character flaws. If you get mad, guess what? You are not an angry person. You're a person who's angry. When we accept our emotions and give them our attention, not our condemnation, we feel so much better, right? If you're sad, you're not a depressed person. You're a person who's sad. Maybe you're depressed, but not everyone who's sad is depressed. Sadness is part of life. Anger is part of life. Happiness is part of life. We want to just sort of get rid of anything that's slightly uncomfortable and feel happy or just sort of numb, really. That's not living, that's existing. We don't want to exist. Live, do not merely exist. So accept your tears, accept your fears, accept everything you feel today and every day. Because ultimately, emotions are not a sign that you are weak. They are a sign that you are human. And by accepting your emotions, you accept your humanity. How does this tie back into loving your body? Because you've got to, all three of these love your body tips. To cherish the body you have, you've got to define yourself by your basic values and unique characteristics instead of by your appearance. You've got to tune into your physical needs by avoiding restrictive diets, cultivating a more intuitive approach to your food choices. And last, you've got to accept your emotions and attend to them instead of ignoring them, because when you feel your feelings, you're not going to use food as a way of coping with your feelings. You're going to directly express your feelings and get rid of them that way instead of trying to stuff them. These are the keys to true transformation and inner peace. Try those three, Chelsea, Nicole, everyone who's listening, and I'm telling you, you're going to feel a lot better, and you're going to feel a lot better about yourself. Okay, I've got one more question. Time for one more question. Here we go. There's a little overlap. Someone asked if cheat days can lead to binge-starve cycles. Yes, cheat days can absolutely lead to binge-starve cycles, because a cheat day, which means that you're eating forbidden foods one way a week, triggers that overeating or even binging, because it creates that, well, I better eat it while I can mentality. Your cheat day is like your day where you give yourself permission to have all the stuff that you don't otherwise let yourself have, which means that it's just another way of setting yourself up by deprivation. The other 6 days are depriving, and then there you go on your cheat day. Then you undo the rest of the 6 days. And post-cheat day remorse leads to restriction, followed by overeating. The cycle just perpetuates itself. And as you heard me talking about why diets lead to overeating or binging, dieting itself, of course, leads to that binge-starve cycle. Okay. There's another question. How do I make... Another question I get a lot, how do I make peace with food? People said, your blog is called Make Peace with Food. How do I do that? Well, here's the thing. Making peace with food really means making peace with yourself. And again, back to the queen of self-care. Lots of people think they'll be happy with themselves when they lose weight. But again, it's the other way around. I talked about this last week on the show. When you're happy with yourself, you're going to lose weight. You don't lose weight to get happy. You get happy and then you lose weight. So how do you get happy with yourself? One way is to really take care of your whole self. Like, you know, that was the mistake the queen of self-care was making. She was only taking care of one aspect of herself, her body. And when you really have a more holistic view of yourself, when you have you recognize you have a body, but you also have a mind, a soul, you have everything else that makes you uniquely you, you have an overall just generally better feeling about yourself. And then you can measure, you know, your compassion instead of the size of your thighs. You can, you know, calculate the quality of your friendships instead of counting calories. You can't measure your value on a bathroom scale. Now, here's something that, you know, I'm sure this is not new to you. People also say, well, yeah, I know all that. I know I'm a good person. I know I have nice eyes and I'm a good friend, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't make me feel better about myself. Still feel lousy about myself. So I said to her, well, you know, do you love your friends because they're so thin? She's like, no, of course not. What an absurd idea. Of course. No one's ever said, I'd really like my friends better if they just dropped a few pounds, you know? I love my friend Alice, but, you know, she's just really 20 pounds over my liking, and she'd be much better friend if she just would drop that weight. No, that's absurd. You like your friends because they're nice, they're fun, they're funny, they're supportive, they're warm, great people. And so are you. And when you give all aspects of yourself equal weight, so to speak, you feel better about yourself. And when you feel better about yourself, you're less likely to use food for comfort, numbing, or distraction. That's how you make peace with food. You make peace with yourself. And by the way, acceptance doesn't mean complacency. If you hate your thighs, you hate your thighs. There's no way you're going to flip some internal switch and suddenly love your thighs or accept your stomach. But you can take the intensity and charge out of that ew feeling when you think about your thighs or your stomach by focusing on other parts of yourself. You know, if you hate your stomach, that draws your focus. If you say, okay, I'm not loving my stomach right now, but it is the stomach I have, so I'm going to focus on other things I like about myself, kind of mitigates that body hatred. When you make peace with yourself, you are much more likely to want to nourish and nurture yourself, to care for yourself instead of battling your body. You're going to take better overall care of yourself. Maybe you're going to get more sleep, exercise, and enjoy it instead of, you know, earning the right to eat. You're going to be kind and supportive of yourself. All of this leads to a healthier, happier relationship to food and to weight loss. And by the way, when you accept yourself, you are more likely to imagine that other people accept you too. Then you have fulfilling, satisfying relationships with people instead of filling up with food. There you go. So that's the show for today. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am so happy to spend this hour with you. And by the way, if you like the show, please take a moment to write a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find it under The Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you so much, and I will see you next week.
You You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.